Amen. Thank you. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this day. I am so glad that you are here. Good morning. I'm Ramona Lynn Bethley, part of the pastoral staff here at Asbury, and we are delighted that you have chosen to be here, that we can worship our Lord together. If you haven't done so already, I invite you to please sign the green registration pads. You're going to find them in the pews in front of you. If you'll pass them to your neighbor, and then I want you to pass them back after it's made it to the end and look at the names of the persons seated with you, so that when we have our community welcome later in the service, you can welcome them by name. And so please be sure to fill this out. If you're visiting with us, we welcome you this day. We hope that you will fill this out as well. Give us your contact information, because we'd like to thank you for being here the way our mothers taught us, and that is with a note. And so we do that by collecting that information. If you are with us for the first time, we'd like to also show our appreciation by giving you a gift. We have a welcome station in our lobby, and when you leave the sanctuary this morning, if you'll stop by our welcome station, there'll be someone there to greet you. And to give you a gift is just a thank you for worshiping at Asbury this morning. A few announcements that I'd like to make. You're going to find them in your worship bulletin and scrolling on the screen. First, I'm going to invite you to come out tonight to Methodist Madness. It's at Festival Plaza from 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock. We'll have some folks from Asbury running registration and the welcome stations and that kind of thing. But it is a district-wide event that we put on for the community, so we hope that you will come out there for Methodist Madness. It's a fall festival-type event. Tomorrow night is Charge Conference. It is the annual meeting that we have where the district superintendent presides over the meeting. We'll take care of a little business, and we'll have some conversation with our district superintendent. So I hope you'll come tomorrow night at 5:30. The theme of this year's Charge Conference is Acts of Piety and Acts of Mercy. If you were here last week, you remember we talked about Acts of Piety, and we'll go over that briefly again today. And today we're going to talk about Acts of Mercy as well. So we're going to be ready. When our district superintendent asks us questions, we're going to be ready for the answers. Because of Halloween this week, there's not going to be any connection, so just make note of that. We'll start back the 7th, I think it is, the following Wednesday. Coming up this weekend is the International Bazaar that will be in our fellowship hall. You'll see the times in your worship bulletin that the bazaar will be going on. So I hope you'll come and bring your Christmas list. It is one of the ways in which we support missions. So you'll find some great things there to purchase. You can give as gifts or keep for yourself. But that will be in our fellowship hall this week. Next Sunday, we'll be celebrating All Saints Sunday. You'll see a little tear-out slip in your worship bulletin this morning. Perhaps you've lost a loved one over this past year, someone we would like to honor and remember. You can fill this out, put it in the offering plate, or you can turn it into the church office, and we will remember those persons whose shoulders we stand, who have entered into life eternal, next Sunday on All Saints Sunday. Also want to remind you, coming November the 11th, is one service, one Sunday, one service, one church united. We'll have Sunday school at 9 o'clock. We will come together for a huge celebration. It is wonderful. You know, when you have two services, you go, oh, you know, I don't see you very often. Oh, well, I'll go to the other service. So we have a wonderful opportunity to come together in one service at 10 o'clock on the 11th, and then we're going to have a catered meal in our fellowship hall at 11. So 9 o'clock is Sunday school, 10 o'clock is worship, 11 o'clock is the meal. So on 1-1-1-1, one service. So just remember that at 10 o'clock. So come and be a part of that celebration. A couple other things coming up. The Joy event is going to have a Broadway spectacular here in the sanctuary. That's going to be Tuesday, November the 6th at 10 o'clock. There's sign-ups in the lobby. And then I want to remind you that we fall back on Saturday. We set our clocks back next week, so we'll get an extra hour of sleep. Operation Stand Down is still going on, the clothing drive. Pumpkin Patch is still going on till the end of the month. And then last but not least, our United Methodist men had a huge barbecue cookout yesterday. They have a few chickens left, so they are selling those. And you can get them in the kitchen, and they promised to put two aside for me. So whoever's doing that, two for me. And then y'all can get the rest. So now that is all my announcements. So let us center ourselves now for this time of worship.
Hymnals to the hymn number 384. 384. Let's stand as we sing. Turn in the back of your hymnal to 881, our Apostles' Creed. Let us affirm our faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. For From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
As we center ourselves for this time of prayer, I remind you about our prayer list in your worship bulletin this morning. As you read over those names and lift them in prayer, perhaps there are others that come on your heart and in your minds that you also want to lift to the Lord this morning. So now let us go to Him in prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, in this time of worship, may we hear your voice. Discern the purpose and calling you would have for us. And then boldly step out in service in your name. Like your first disciples, we learn slowly the meaning of necessity and cost of servanthood, if we are truly to be followers of yours. You have called us to love you with all our hearts, our souls, our minds, our strengths, our whole selves, and to love one another. And despite your goodness, sometimes, Lord, we know that we become hard-headed, and we seek to follow our own path. We love you half-heartedly while giving attention to our own wants. So turn us, Lord. Turn us back to your ways and renew us once more. By the outpouring of your Holy Spirit, make us love letters from Christ, with the message of your salvation, hope, mercy, and forgiveness written on our hearts and delivered to all we encounter. And as we enter to worship this day, may we leave here transformed people, ready to transform the world in the name of the risen Christ, who taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Now I want to invite our children to join Miss Wendy on the steps for their children's time.
Good morning, girls. How are y'all doing this morning? Good. You're hungry? Oh, I know, I'm always hungry in the morning. Well, have y'all ever tried on your mom's high heels before? Walked around in them? No, you haven't? Well, I know, I have too. I did when I was little. And it's not always easy to walk around in your mom's high heels, is it? Your feet kind of waddle and your ankle kind of twist, and it's kind of hard, isn't it? Yeah, it's not easy sliding into somebody else's shoes, walking around the house in it. You do it to your dad's shoes? Yeah, yeah, those are even bigger, huh? Yeah, I understand. Well, Jesus, you'll get that later. Okay. Well, Jesus says that the second most important commandment is to love others. That's pretty important. Do you remember what the first one is? To love God. The second one's to love others. If that's the second most important commandment, it's pretty important, right? Now, love others. Do you think he means that we get to pick and choose who we love? No, because that would be pretty easy. Y'all are pretty cute and pretty sweet, so it'd be pretty easy just to love y'all. But we leave church and we go to the store and we run into somebody who may be in a bad mood and cuts us off and we're trying to park and then gets out of the car and gives us a dirty look. It's not so easy to love that person. Huh, no. And then my daughter blatantly points out one day after church that mom gets in bad moods when she's hungry. Yeah. So she must be starving right now. You think it was real easy to love me at that point in time? No. But Jesus wants us to love everybody. And the best thing to do is to put ourselves in their shoes, because maybe they're not going through something that makes them very happy. Maybe that mom that cut us off in that parking lot might have been in a hurry. She might have had a sick baby at home. So we don't know what they're feeling at that point in time. We need to show a little compassion for others, because they might be going through a hard time. In Philippians 2:4, it says, "Do not be interested only in your own life, but be interested in the lives of others. Show compassion like Jesus did." And that helps us to love others if we see what's going on in their lives and we can understand what they're going through. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for loving us so much. When we're good, when we're in a bad mood, please help us to love others. Even when they're in a bad mood, help us to be compassionate like you. Amen. We're going to have Children's Church in the Fellowship Hall just across the way. And thank you so much.
Morning. My name is Miles Holliday, and I've been asked to talk with you this morning about Consecration Sunday, which is coming up 2 weeks from today on November 11th. I've got three did you know questions. The first one is this: did you know that nowhere in the Bible does it say anything about giving to the church budget? Did you know that? Second one, did you know that in many places in the Bible that it does give instructions about giving to God? I think most of us would agree with that one and say that we knew that one. Did you know that when you approach giving as giving to God, that it takes your spiritual life, in fact, your entire life, to a whole other level, to a higher level? And it's a level that you will never want to come down from, in part because of the good that you will get from it. A friend of mine and longtime member of this church and I were talking this week, and I think he maybe saw my name in the bulletin, and so we started talking about Consecration Sunday and about giving in general. It wasn't a big theological deal. It was just two guys talking. And he said this. He said, "If they only knew." And then he stopped. Well, I thought he meant if they only knew how much the church maybe needed the money for certain activities and programs that we have. But since he had stopped in the middle of his sentence, I said to him, "If everybody knew what?" And he said, "If everybody knew what giving to God would do for you spiritually, we'd have a whole church full of members who tithe to the church. And if not tithing, we'd have a whole church full of members who are on that stair step ladder of approaching that level of giving." He went on to say this. He said, "Whenever you give to God, it changes your life." He said, "It changes the way you look at everything." He said, "It changes you to the point that you can't believe that you were ever reluctant or timid to give." My friend gave me a lot to think about this week. In the Bible, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter and the 17th verse, that anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old you has gone, and the new you has come. I want to be sure that all of us get the implication here of what my friend said and what Paul is writing in the Bible. And that implication is kind of underlying the message, I think. I think Paul is saying here that you're going to like the new you a whole lot more than you liked the old you. And it's just a matter of fact that when you are in Christ, when you're in tune with God, it changes you to the point that your giving as well as everything about you is always, always to God. Let me give you some specifics about November 11th. We're going to have a catered meal on that day. And it's going to be necessary for you to make reservations, in part so we can be sure we have plenty for everyone to eat. And today, in a few minutes, you're going to be invited to fill out a reservation card for that luncheon, celebration luncheon. Now, I would like to ask you if you would take your bulletin at this time, and inside your bulletin, take out the insert. And I've been a teacher in one form or another all of my life, and so when I tell my students that you need to get out something to write with, then you all need to get out something to write with. Need a pen or pencil, okay? Find one there in the pew or get one out, because I'm going to ask you to write something down. I want you to take out the sheet and turn it over to the side that has the Grow One Step sheet and the side that has a little stair step. The numbers I'm going to give you are this. If you'll start at the bottom left-hand corner of your sheet, okay, bottom left-hand corner, I want you to write this number in that blank. The number is 340. Now, I'm going to come around in a few minutes and check to see if you're doing your assignment now. So I see some of you just sitting there like some of my students. But 340. And what that means is 340 members of this church gave $0. And the next step, I want you to write the number 117. That means that 117 members of this church gave between 1 cent and $4.99 per week. Write this number in the third step. By the way, that's about what it would cost you to go to a fast food restaurant for one. The third step, write the number 50. That's the number of people that gave between $5 and $9.99 to our church. That's about the price of a movie admission for one person. The next one, the fourth step, write the number 42. That's how many people gave $10 to $19.99 per week. That's about what a haircut costs. Well, for men, right, okay. But you get the idea. Now I want you to fill in the rest. After that 42, on the fifth step, write the number 34. The next one, write the number 21. Then 16. Then 41, where it says $50. 41, 25, 17, 17. And at the very top, write the number 15, 15. 15 people gave $200 or more dollars per week to our church. Now I want you to turn over to the back of the sheet. I want you to go down the left-hand side of the page, go down where it says weekly income, and I want you to find your approximate weekly income. Got it? I want you to stay on that line, and I want you to move to the right and go over till you find the amount of money that you give or have given to the church weekly. When you get to that point, keep your eyes on that number. Go straight up the page to where the percents are, and you can see there what the percent of your income, that is your weekly given, is, that you're giving weekly. Now, this is just to kind of help you visualize here some things here. And I'm hopeful and I'm sure that during the next 2 weeks that you're going to be thinking about what level God is asking me to step up to. It may be one step up. It may be two. It may be more. Now, I'm going to ask the ushers, if they will, to come forward and hand out some luncheon reservations for November 11th. Remember, this is a catered meal, and we hope everybody in your family can come. I'm going to ask Reuben if he would just play, and we'll give you just a few minutes here. We're going to take the time this morning for you to fill out that reservation form and then pass it back over to the aisle, and the ushers will pick it up in a few minutes. As you're filling that out, we're going to pick those back up in a few minutes. And anyone who has not filled one out, we will be making home visits for those people who have not been able to make them out for one reason or another. So we are encouraging you to do that. It'll help us out a whole lot for you to do that. back up yet, or have we collected them? All right, if you would, just pass them over to the aisle if you haven't already, and the ushers will pick those up. Choir was a little late in getting there, so we'll pick theirs up later in the service or after the service. I want to suggest that you do this. This week, or perhaps next week, but I want you to find a quiet place away from the TV and away from all the noise that distracts all of us, and ask yourself, what percent of my income is God calling me to give to His work through this congregation? I want you to remember what my friend said. I want you to remember what Paul said. And I want you to know it's what I believe and what I'm saying here to you this morning, that giving to God, giving in a way that is to God, will change your life. It will change your life for the good of everyone, including yourself. And it can be for a lifetime. Thank you.
Let us pray. Oh God, our Father, we're so grateful that you have come to us and planted yourself deep within our own soul. That you have come in such a way that you have said, I'm here forever. And I'm asking you to respond to me on a daily basis. Help each of us to respond to you. Help each of us to be willing to give back to you from all that you've given us, and to give generously. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you. around the sanctuary and tell someone that God loves them.
Well, our scripture this morning comes from Mark's Gospel, the 12th chapter, beginning at the 28th verse. The greatest commandment. So hear now these words. One of the teachers of the law came and he heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all of the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but Him. To love Him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared to ask him any more questions. Let us pray. Almighty God, still the busyness of our minds and open our hearts to you that we may hear your word for us this day. Amen. One of the greatest Christmas presents I got, I think, was just a few years ago. I got a GPS. I don't even know what it stands for. But anyway, it's a map. It's an electronic map. I can punch in an address, and it'll take me places. It'll take me where I need to go. Now, you can choose the voice. I chose an Australian voice because he just talks so nice to me. I just kind of like it. But it's kind of funny because, you know, there's a learning curve to a GPS and a language curve with an Australian, because there's this traffic circle. In New Orleans, I would find myself often, and my GPS would say to me, "Merge to the roundabout." And I'm thinking, roundabout? What's a roundabout? You know, it's a traffic circle. So merge into the roundabout. And the other thing that my GPS said often, especially if I would take a wrong turn, is recalculating. Recalculating. All the time I would hear, recalculating. And the other thing, when I would take a long trip, it would say, there would be this little yellow triangle. There's a yellow triangle that comes up on my GPS, and you punch it, and it says that there's a better route available. And so you can choose to take a better route. And it'll reconfigure your travels, and you can go a better route. Well, in life, in our journey of faith, sometimes we need a GPS. Something or someone to remind us that, well, we need to be recalculating, or that there is a better route available. Well, this teacher of the law, a church leader, a Sunday school teacher, if you will, that's what he was seeking. He was seeking a better route for his life. And so he goes up to Jesus and asks the question, what is the greatest commandment? For you see, there were 613 laws and commandments. And it wasn't unusual for teachers, preachers, church leaders to sit around and debate over which one was the more important. Should we be about this food commandment? That's the most important. That's the one we should really be paying attention to. No, that's not it. It's the burnt offering one. That's the one we should be paying attention to. And so there was this great debate that went on often about what was the greatest commandment. Many people approached Jesus asking questions like that of the law, and they were really doing it to trip him up. But in this case, this teacher, this one that came to Jesus, was genuine. He was genuinely seeking what was the greatest commandment, because in his own heart, that was what he wanted to do, and that was what he wanted to teach others. So he was genuine when he asked Jesus the question, what is the greatest commandment? Well, Jesus answers him with Scripture. He answers him with Deuteronomy 6:5, and it's the Shema. It's the staple of the Jewish faith that Jesus told him. It was a prayer that the Jews would say in the morning. It's how they began their day. It's how they ended their night. Like I said, it was the staple of their faith. And that is what Jesus said. He said, look at verse 30. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." In other words, love God with your whole being, your whole selves, with your head, your heart, and your hands. Like we said last week, be all in, be crazy in love. That's what Jesus is saying. I remember when I reached that moment in my relationship with Rusty that I knew I had to make a commitment. It was you know, we'd gotten to that point where he would say to me, oh, you know, it'd be the end of a date or end of a phone call, and he'd say, I love you, and I'd go, oh, that's nice. Oh, that's so sweet. You are so thoughtful. You know, I wouldn't say it back. I wasn't going to just throw those words around to just anybody. Well, this one particular weekend, he had asked me out on a date, and my brother, who was in the military, was coming home, and I knew that we were going to have plans with my brother. I wanted to spend time with my brother, and so I told him that. I said, you know, my brother's coming in. I don't really know what we're doing this weekend, you know, so I don't know. You know, I don't know that I can go out with you Friday night or whatever night it was, And I said, I think we're going to do something with my brother. I think we're going to go to dinner. I even told him where I thought we were going to dinner. So we do. We go to dinner. My parents, my brother, and I'm there, and we're all together, our little huddle. We're all huddled up having dinner. And do you know, he comes. He shows up with a long-legged redhead. This tall, slender, red-headed woman with legs that went all the way down to the ground, he shows up with her. And I told you in a sermon earlier that, you know, we like to go places where my mom and dad could dance, and so that's where we were. We were at a place, and he danced with her. I mean, at that moment, I can't even remember her name. But anyway, I remember her, and I remember at that moment that I had better commit to this relationship. I needed to tell him that I was all in, that I was crazy in love with him, because there was this long-legged redhead trying to steal my man. Well, God's looking for a commitment from us. He wants us to be all in. He wants us to be crazy in love with him. We talked about that last week, and we do that by spending time with him. I'm just going to go over them briefly, because if you weren't here last week, or you might want to be able to fill in all your arrows that we have. We talked about these arrows on the front of your worship bulletin last week, that the ones going in are spiritual disciplines, acts of piety. John Wesley called those acts of piety, and I'm just going to say them quickly. Private worship, that time of meditation and worship, write that in one of those arrows. Public worship, that which we are doing this morning, that is an act of piety, a spiritual discipline, a time that we get to know God, spend time with him. The Lord's Supper, write that down in another one of those arrows. Prayer, your prayer life, that is your time with God to listen, to talk, to share. Scripture reading, write that down. Scripture reading for listening purposes. And then Bible study, which is script study of the Scripture to learn what it's teaching us about the nature of God. And then in the seventh arrow, write fasting. These are all ways in which our GPS is recalculating us, for lack of a better word. We are being recalculated as we grow deeper in love with God. We're being transformed. We're being changed from the inside out by what we're reading, the scripture passages that we're studying, by our time in prayer, by the songs that we're hearing, by the word that's being spoken, by hanging out with one another, by hanging out with other persons on the journey. These are ways that we learn and love and fall in love with God. And when we do so, we realize that we are changing. We are being transformed. We're falling in love with God. We're falling in love with a God who is loving us back. And in so doing, we become different people. Different people doing different things in our life. And that's when our GPS says to us that there is a better route available. Because then, what we've taken in is this love of God, and what comes out is these acts of mercy. And that's when Jesus told the teacher of the law, that's when he told him that this is the second commandment. And it came from Leviticus 19:18. Look at verse 31. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these. We fall in love by taking in these acts of piety, these arrows going inward, inward into our heart, inward into our soul. So what comes out? What John Wesley calls acts of mercy. Those yellow arrows, if you will, on your bulletin this morning. We've been recalculated. We've been transformed by loving God. So then we begin to realize that there's a better route available for our own lives by loving others, by showing love to others. So what are acts of mercy? What are these yellow arrows? How do they live themselves out in our life? Well, I thought of some that I think are doable, ones that are being done now in the Louisiana Annual Conference in our district, in our church. One act of mercy could be visiting the prisoners. That was something John Wesley did weekly, was visit in the prison. We have a ministry called Kairos that is leading retreats and worship in our prison system. We're even helping to build chapels because of this ministry. We started over 10 years ago in Angola, and the warden didn't want us there, and now he is asking, when can you come back? When can you come back? Because it's changing the culture of the prison because it's changing the prisoners. And we have this in our prison system throughout Louisiana. So maybe write that down in one of those yellow arrows. Visit the prisoners. Or how about being a voice for the voiceless? Social justice is a huge foundational piece of being United Methodist. We do that. We do that by voting. We do that by writing our congressman or congresswoman. We do that by the decisions that we make. We live in the greatest country in the world, in my opinion, and we have an opportunity through our democracy, through our votes, through our voice, to be a voice for the voiceless, to bring about social action and social change in the world today. Another act of mercy could be to write this down. Share your resources. Miles did a beautiful job today talking about giving from the heart, giving as a response to our relationship to God, not the church's budget. And so we have an opportunity to share our resources with others. One of the ways we do this well in the United Methodist Church is through our apportionments. Now, often we think apportionments is, well, that's how we pay the district superintendent or that's how we pay our bishop. And yeah, it is, but less than 1% of Asbury's apportionments, conference apportionments, goes to do those things. The other 99% goes to the Methodist Children's Home, where we are taking abandoned, abused, and neglected children out of a terrible situation and into a loving, life-changing situation. Our apportionments do that. Our apportionments are going where we can't go. They're going into the Congo, into the third world countries, and they're building wells. They're building these water wells so people can have clean, fresh water. We're trying to eradicate the killer diseases like malaria. I mean, we're doing great things with the 99% of our conference apportionments. And we need to be a part of that as a church, as a United Methodist Church. We have a chance to transform the world by what we do. So write that down. Share your resources. That is an act of mercy. Clothe the naked. That's another one. Operation Stand Down going on right now in our lobby where we're collecting clothes for veterans. Visit the sick. You have a desire to visit the sick. We have a care team that goes out under the direction of Reverend Ken every day into the hospitals and into the nursing homes, bringing love from Asbury, bringing hope, bringing prayer, bringing care to those at a time of uncertainty. Write down in one of those yellow arrows, sharing your spiritual gifts. What are your talents? What are your passions? Joe Haynes, a church member, loves to run marathons. You know, he's running a marathon in December, and he's raising money for Renesting as he goes along. Maybe you have a passion for music. Maybe you'd like to sing. Maybe you'd like to ring. Great job today. What a treat that is for our worship experience. Maybe you have the gift of teaching and would love to teach adults or children. Children can't teach themselves, and we're looking for passionate people to love and help change our children, teach them the stories that we grew up hearing, perhaps. So what is your spiritual gift? Is it cooking? Is it sewing? Is it praying? Is it visiting? Figure out what it is, because there's a place. There's a place for you to take that spiritual gift and share it with others. So there's one arrow left, and I chose just one more, and that was helping the poor. Now, we're not limited to those seven arrows. It lives its out in many different ways, but we do that well through Renesting and the Lighthouse. Let me tell you about a transformed life through one of our ministries at Asbury. Our very own Emily Miller, when she's now a sophomore in high school, she was a few years ago in eighth grade in the youth group, and just one of the things that the youth group did was to go to the Lighthouse, a ministry that we have in Bossier, to meet the needs of poor and especially children. It's in a community where we did the Katie Build House. And so it really is meeting a need for the poor. And so they had gone to visit the Lighthouse, and Emily was changed. She was transformed by that experience. She was touched. And she even went back on her own. She had gone with the youth group, but she went back because, well, she liked what she saw. Something happened in that time at the Lighthouse. And she began, you know what she did? Now, her birthday comes up. This was when she was in eighth grade, so what's that, 13? So a teenager. Here she is, a teenager. She's about to have a birthday. Well, and like every teenager about to have a birthday, she had a long birthday list. But did you know there wasn't a single thing on that list that was for her? She had gone to the Lighthouse, she had found out what their needs were, and she made a list, and in every one of her birthday invitations that she sent out to one of her friends, come to my birthday, here's what I'd like to have. It was something for the Lighthouse. There was nothing on that list for her. It was all for someone else. Do you know how transformative that is? Not only did she touch the lives of the children at the Lighthouse, what a transforming opportunity that was for those that received the invitation, that had an opportunity to buy a gift. Do you know that she still does that today, two, three years later? That is still how Emily celebrates her birthday. Why? Because she's transformed. She's been transformed because she loves God, and in so doing, she's loving others. We have an opportunity to do that too. You see the paper box up here. We're going to do again for the third year, blessing boxes. You can see a picture of it on the screen. It is a Thanksgiving dinner. It's Asbury's Thanksgiving dinner to the Lighthouse neighborhood. We have boxes out in the lobby and sign-up sheets, and every one of the boxes is a food list that you can fill it up. If the boxes are all gone, go get your own paper box. We have lists also available for you to take with you if you want to provide your own box. And fill the box, bring it back on the 11th when we have that one big service, and we're going to bless these boxes, and then we're going to take them out in the name of the Lord and Asbury to the neighborhoods of the Lighthouse, and we're going to share these blessing boxes. You can see that they decorate them, so feel free to decorate them if you would like and share a little love, because we are transformed people, transforming the world. When we are passionate about God, when we are in love with God, it changes everything. It changes how we think. It changes how we act. It changes what we do. It changes how we celebrate our birthday. We are changed people, changing the world. Now, I've been your pastor now for 4 months. And every Sunday, we leave out of here the same way. You hear me say, and you will hear me say every Sunday, be the light of Christ where you work, where you play, and where you live. I say that because I believe that we should be transformed people, about transforming the world and our world, our work world, our playground world, our home world. We are transformed people, transforming the world where we work, where we play, and where we live, because the expectation is that we're going to leave out of here better than when we came in, because we have encountered God and the fellowship of others on the journey with us. We've been recalculated in this place through worship, through study, through song, through prayer. And we realize in departing that there is a better route available. Eddie Fox, the director of the World Methodist Foundation for Evangelism, puts it this way. He says, personal piety is what we breathe in. Acts of mercy is the way we breathe out. The only way to know which is more important is to ask which you did last. If you've been changed today, go out and change your world, where you work, where you play, and where you live. Amen. Let us pray. God, we love you so much. We do. And we thank you that you love us. And in loving you, Lord, no matter where we are in that journey, whether we are all in, crazy in love, or still just getting to know you, help us, Lord, in that journey. And every day, recalculate us a little bit more, that we may choose a better route in your name. Amen. Well, maybe you have been recalculated today and you are ready. You are ready to face out there and be a light to Christ where you work, where you play, where you live. Maybe you're ready to stand here first and declare that I want to be a part of Asbury. Maybe you want to say that I've been transformed. Or maybe you just want one of your pastors to pray for you. I invite you. We're going to stand and sing our closing hymn. If you feel so led or so called, I invite you to just come forward as we stand to sing our closing hymn.
463.
To Christ. where you work, where you play, and where you live, that you may be and bring that light to others. And may the peace of God be with you this day and forevermore. Amen.